Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan, live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back. Of course, he is the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, also Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. And now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, you listen to him on the DA show. He is DA here on The Fan. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Hey, guys, what's going on?
Well,
what's going on, DA?
We played your piece on Friday that you had last week talking about Matt LaFleur and not liking the way he went about addressing why they took Jordan Love. So figured we'd get you on and talk more about it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on to talk about it. I just think that framing it as though Jordan Love was next man up on the board is insincere because they traded up to get him. You know, Jordan Love, had they actually fallen, had he fallen to their slot when they were selecting, I could buy that more. But if you're going to be aggressive enough to give up a draft pick to move up the slots to go get your quarterback, it's not like it's just next man up. He fell to us. Hey, we had to take him. This is a guy clearly they targeted. This is a guy clearly they believe can help them. This is a guy clearly going to be groomed to take over for Rodgers. That's their MO. They're allowed to do it. They believe that's the proper plan. I have no problem with executing your plan, even though I disagree with it. But I have a problem with trying to sell us that it just so happened he fell to us. Come on. You traded up to go get him. Clearly he was a target and a priority to go get.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know that, and I think when you look at the Packers, you got a new head coach, and when they hired Matt LaFleur, we were wondering, okay, you got a four-year contract. Is this contract 4 years for Rodgers, or this is a head coach that's going to be after Rodgers? And I think what that told us is that maybe LaFleur is going to be here longer than Rodgers by making that pick. I wasn't so upset with the pick, although a lot of people were, because a lot of people say, yo, you were in the NFC Championship game last year. Clearly you need more receivers and you didn't get it done. Now you go waste a pick on a guy that's going to be, it's going to take 3-4 years. And what is that going to get you? Obviously, they felt like that they have the guys in-house to get that done. So I wasn't so, it didn't rile me that they didn't tell us the truth. When did these guys ever tell us the truth, D.A.? Do they ever?
That's a fair point. I mean, I guess you can't expect front offices and coaches to ever truly, you know, be
they
totally
never do.
Up front. But, I mean, I think the thing is, if Matt LaFleur and the front office says, you know what, we feel like Rodgers is still good, but we want to make sure we have depth at that position. We want to make sure that we're always grooming a guy to be able to take over in case of injury. You can really dress it up as though, you know, we're just doing what's in the best, you know, the best realm of the Packers without actually having to say we don't think Rodgers has it anymore. But I just don't think anybody could take it as sincere when you trade up to go get a guy and say he happened to be next guy on the board. It just so happened he fell to us. Those two things just don't mix, because you actually had to give up draft capital to go get that guy.
Yeah, D.A., this is Leroy Butler, by the way. Gutekunst was asked about this back in February, I think, before everything kind of fell apart in the country. People were asking him about, did he have guts enough to select a quarterback? And he said his normal spin. I think no one spins it better than me, D.A., if you've been listening to this show. But he kind of said it. Hey, I'm not scared to take a quarterback. So we didn't take him for his word. So now I think a lot of people thought this is the best receiver draft in 25 years. That was sold to everybody, but the Packers didn't see it that way. And I think the Packers, based on what I know, said if a kid gets in the 20s, we're gonna go get him. Had they moved up to the 15s or maybe even 10 to get him, your point is well taken. But when they thought he got into the 20s, it was a chance to move and get him four spots to give up a fourth round pick. We all were surprised, but I think in that building, I think it worked out perfectly based on what they're saying.
Maybe it did, Leroy. You know, I had an issue not only that the Packers did not draft a quarterback there, but did not draft at least a player that could assist in 2020 in helping to win a Super Bowl. To me, yes, you want to draft the next guy to take over for Aaron Rodgers, okay?
Sure.
Found a way to get from Favre to Rodgers. There's been a few times in NFL history where you could go from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, but it's few and far between. The idea that Jordan Love is going to become a Hall of Famer, to me, is a bit of a pipe dream, but hopefully he does. But while you have a Hall of Famer, and you did get to the NFC Championship game, even if they weren't as powerful as a 13-3 record would indicate last year, I still wanted to see them help out the 2020 roster. And there's no way Jordan Love can help Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl, because if Aaron Rodgers is playing, that means Jordan Love is not. And so that part of it bothered me about building for the now when you're this close. But I think you're right. They must have liked Jordan Love enough. They must have said, hey, he's fallen to the 20s. We should go snap him up. But I do think there's a way that Matt LaFleur and Goot and the rest of the front office can say publicly, we got the best kid. We feel good about where we're at. We have depth at that position, without kind of dressing it up as, hey, we just kind of got lucky here. He just fell to us. Because I think, as you were alluding to, they had conversations before this draft that if Jordan Love gets to a certain moment in the draft, we're going to get him. And that's different from just saying, our other targets were off the board, and it just so happened he was the next kid up.
D.A., when you
look... D.A., real quick, I'm sorry, I apologize, Steve. D.A., they would rather upset you, me, Steve, Gary, the fan base, but they don't want to upset Aaron Rodgers. They can't say what you said. Right, they can't say that.
Right.
It's one of those things, should I ask for permission or... Oh, go ahead.
That's exactly right. I think you're absolutely right on. And so I think it speaks to a second story, which is it's only late May when LaFleur made that comment. And we're already hearing them basically have to position it as, hey, we kind of got lucky here. This had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, which tells me that they know they're in for a world of maneuvering and navigating a massage in that relationship, which is a whole different can of worms that they put on themselves that was, to me, unnecessary.
Why was it unnecessary, D.A.? I'm sorry, Guy Lee, Steve, I'm sorry. Why was it unnecessary, D.A.?
Well, I think because Aaron Rodgers is still good enough to win a Super Bowl over the next 3 years. I would bet everything that I have that Rodgers is good enough today, 2021, 2022, that you could win a Super Bowl. And I don't think this was a problem that had to be solved this year, especially from a kid that is a project. Look, I've got nothing against Jordan Love, but everybody that watched him week in, week out, if you do watch the film, if you look at his stats, if you looked at his competition, you know he's not ready right now. So at the very least, he's a project over the next 2 to 3 years. That means that he's not a slam dunk, polished, okay, we'll plug him in and we know he's our guy. Now, you could say the same thing about Aaron Rodgers, and it worked out great. But it's a little different to take Jordan Love today and know you've got to work on him over the next 3 years to get him into a place to win versus, hey, we really did have a polished kid fall to us and we just had to take him. And even if we're not ready to give the mantle over to that kid, we just had to grab that kid. This was not a problem to me to fix the Aaron Rodgers situation now. You could have tried to fix it next year or the year after that. I think it was premature now, and now you've opened up a can of worms that you really didn't need to on a kid that you've got to polish so much to get to be the solution.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, DA, how much longer does Rodgers really have left here? I mean, yeah, he's got 4 years left on his deal. Based on the way the salary is all situated here, after 2 years, they can pretty much be out of this deal if they want to be, if they think Jordan Love is ready. And if after 2 years they don't think Jordan Love is ready and isn't close to being ready, they can make another draft pick of a quarterback higher in the draft to get another 2 years to get the next guy ready. Doing it so early gives you a better chance of getting this right.
But it also submarines your chances to win right now with that Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, there is probably only going to be, out of this era, one, two quarterbacks that are greater than Aaron Rodgers, and maybe that's, you would consider Tom Brady, and maybe it's going to be Patrick Mahomes or something like that. I mean, you right now have one of the three best quarterbacks of his era at still a Super Bowl winning caliber to draft a guy that may or may not be your guy in 2 or 3 years. And if he's not, you've got to spin the wheel of quarterbacking drafts again, to me is a wasted draft pick.
But,
and as I said, compounds all of the other problems. You didn't help Aaron Rodgers today. You have now had to massage the Aaron Rodgers relationship, and they haven't even reported a camp yet. And you're not even willing to be honest about why you took him.
I don't disagree with you on your take on whether or not they were honest and what they did. I completely agree with you. But if you're following along here with what Matt LaFleur wants and how he wants his offense to run, last year they were at a 58-59% pass-to-run ratio. They want to get down to closer to 52-51%, mm-hmm. which means less throwing the ball for Aaron Rodgers, which also sets up for the next quarterback not to have to be a Hall of Fame quarterback in order to try to win a Super Bowl. And look at the San Francisco 49ers. They got a lot of money spent on Jimmy Garoppolo. And then when you put your chips down, he's throwing the ball 7, 8, 9 times in a football game. Look at what happened last year in Tennessee. I just think it's them saying, we got a great wide receiver in Davante Adams. I don't need 3 or 4 great wide receivers if I want to run the football as much as I do and take the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
Well, two things there. With all due respect, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't win a Super Bowl. And the blueprint that the Niners put together is an anomaly in 2020. It is not something that is sustainable to win Super Bowls regularly or even perhaps win one. Now, granted, they were very close, 10-point lead fourth quarter, and it took, of course, the kind of meltdown by Garoppolo, but it did show that if you didn't have true trust in a quarterback to make plays, you were doomed in today's NFL. So I don't think that right now is where any NFL team would want to have to get to. I mean, Ryan Tannehill makes the Titans special last year because the Titans used to be the 49ers where all they did was run the football, and they finally found a quarterback that could open it up. So I do think that that's really, really important. But as I'll go back to the wide receiver point, I don't think they had to get a wide receiver if they didn't like a wide receiver there. I think it's a miss to not help out Aaron Rodgers in 2020 at any one of a number of positions that the Packers could have used a first-round draft pick on. Let's face it, Leroy, and everybody knows this in Wisconsin, when you have a first-round draft pick, that guy's supposed to be drafted and make a Pro Bowl. That is the expectation of a first-round draft pick. It is not to maybe make the team, maybe be a project, maybe he'll be the guy 3 years. You got a first-round pick, that guy's got to be a Pro Bowler for your team or else you feel like you missed out on it. So to basically punt on that, a potential Pro Bowl caliber player, while you have one of the greatest quarterbacks of his era that is still a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, I do think is a wasted draft pick.
Let me ask you this. What's your overall thoughts on the Green Bay Packers organization as a whole within the last 25, 30 years?
Really strong, really consistent, and an organization that I think a lot of fan bases would love to root for. I do think it's ultimately disappointing that Rodgers has only been to one Super Bowl. And if the Green Bay Packers have 15 years of Aaron Rodgers and have gone to one Super Bowl, and have, of course, sniffed it a couple of times with a 15-1 season in 2011, the NFC Championship game collapse in Seattle, and, you know, a couple of others, you know, you got close, but it's hard to feel completely content that the Packers organization got the most out of having one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you say the same thing about the Saints and Drew Brees?
Yeah, I do. I think the Packers have been more balanced on average than the Saints have had under Brees. Only recently did the Saints have a defense and have a running game that could support Brees. So I would say the last 3 years of the Saints, to be as good as they were and not come away with a Super Bowl appearance, is disappointing. But on the whole, I think the Saints for so long were Drew Brees, and if it's not a great Brees game, they're cooked. I don't think you could say the same thing necessarily about Rodgers and the Packers.
Well, let me ask you this. So if Mahomes only wins one Super Bowl, would you feel the same way about Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Yeah, I certainly would, especially considering how early, I mean, he won it in his career. I mean, look, the early trajectory is crazy for Mahomes. He's won an NFL MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, and has been a number one seed in the AFC Championship game 2 years as a starting quarterback. So if we go for the first 2 years of Mahomes at that level, and then he can never get back to a Super Bowl, and let's assume that he plays at least another 10 or 12 years,
exactly.
Yeah, peaking early. I mean, it's a little like the Dan Marino corollary. Marino goes to the Super Bowl in year number two and never gets back. There's never a Dolphins fan that doesn't feel, even had he won that Super Bowl, that that wasn't a disappointment. I think you would say that about Mahomes.
I guess what I'm saying, outside of the New England Patriots, who else is doing this, though, D.A.? I mean, I think what we forget sometimes is how hard it is to win a Super Bowl, or how hard it is to get there. Like, everything has to fall into place. I think the Patriots, it gives us a false sense of, like, I don't think people realize how great the New England Patriots are. Now, a lot of people don't like them because of the hoodie, the cheating, and all that stuff. And I've said this stuff, and maybe people call me crazy, but this is history in the making that we're looking at with the Patriots, and they make it look easy, and no other organization can be like that.
Well, I do think that that's a fair point. You can't expect any organization to have the Patriots' run of success. But if you're comparing Aaron Rodgers to his contemporaries, Ben Roethlisberger went to 3 Super Bowls. Eli Manning went to 2. Peyton Manning went to 4. You do have other contemporaries. Russell Wilson has been to 2. You do have his peers around him that have either doubled or tripled or quadrupled, or in Tom Brady's case, times 9 of what Rodgers did. I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers being as great as he is and still being, in my estimation, great enough to win a Super Bowl, I think you'd be hard-pressed to feel like you went the final 10 or 12 years of Rodgers' career and not made it back there without feeling a little bit like, man, that's a disappointment.
D.A., I wanted to give you more time for this, but Gary just hogged all the time.
No, D.A. said he's got nowhere to go, man.
Just stop it, man.
We
just
having
stop
a conversation.
I got plenty of time here, guys.
He got nowhere to go, man.
Here. Let me know when you want me.
Yeah, he ain't
DA,
going anywhere,
DA,
man. We gonna Zoom D.A. next time.
We have to get to Dave Robinson at the top of the hour. But I wanted to give for 15 seconds. Now it's 10.
No, we got plenty of time for D.A. Take your time, D.A.
Listen, I want to just know how you got in the business. Because our listeners want to know. Because you got a great delivery. We understand. I like you have the guts to say what you think. I like that. Because on this show, we don't say who's right or wrong. Everybody got an opinion. It's like a barbershop. So tell me how you got started in the business in, like I said, 10 or 15 seconds.
You got long.
Well,
take your time.
Went to broadcast school and knew that I wanted to be a sportscaster. Didn't know where I fit in. But I always had a real passion about sports and opinions that came along with that passion. And I was reared on NFL films. I'll never forget sitting in front of my dad's Sony Trinitron that was in a big wooden case on wheels in my living room and watching fantastic finishes in Super Bowl highlight films and the Lombardi Packers highlights and just kind of like living and breathing by that. And so football was always my passion. The NFL was always my passion. And I got to marry the two together, and I feel really fortunate to do so. But because I have so much passion and because I've followed it for such a long time and – you know, look, I was a kid in New York that had a Robert Brooks Packers jersey, okay? So I have had a passion about certain teams and certain organizations for a long time. I'm a guy that wears my heart on my sleeve, and if you ask me a question, you get a direct answer. And I just don't know how to do it any other way, I guess. Nice.
DA, thanks so much for coming on, man. Used to be on this station after our show at 6 o'clock, and so you moved up to do mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Now.
Yeah, I know. I'm just glad you're still able to come on the show. DA, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for asking, guys. Whatever you need me, let me know. I'll talk to you soon.
Uh-oh, sounds we're going to use you.
Take care.
Appreciate
you should have never said
here
that.
There he is, DA.
Here we go.
Check out DA's show on CBS Sports Radio on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's your passion on growing your home. Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.